You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Okay, couples, who's ready to have maybe a little bit of an awkward conversation today over this podcast? We're talking about sex. Now we're grown-ups. We've been married for a while. We can talk about this, right? This topic is based off the book from Kevin Lehman called Sheet Music. And I just know that in my own life and in many years of doing counseling with couples, just recognize how much sex is an issue in marriage. And it might change over the years. Maybe in your early years of marriage, you guys were like right in sync and it was great. And then maybe you had kids, or maybe you had a health crisis. And then all of a sudden it changed. Your intimacy changed. One of your interests changed and sex wasn't as important. Whatever it is, I just want to talk about some of these principles that Kevin Lehman talks about and how important it is to have not only a healthy view of what sex is for your marriage, but just that you guys are on the same page about it. You know, one of the things that we talk about, one of the legs of a healthy marriage, we talk about this in our Pursue God resources, is that trust is earned. That if a healthy couple is firing on all cylinders, then trust is at the core of their relationship. And we're earning trust every day with every word that we speak, every action that we take. And so you better believe that trust is a major piece of the puzzle when it comes to intimacy, sex in your marriage. Because if you don't feel safe with your spouse for other reasons, then intimacy is going to be really challenging. So here's what I want to do today. I just want to explore some of the principles that he brings out in the book. And I want you to be looking at your own marriage. I want you to be thinking about it in terms of where you're coming from with this issue and where your spouse might be coming from. And really, my encouragement is that you guys sit down as a couple, listen to this podcast, buy the book, read the book, use the questions, and have some conversation. Because here's the thing, guys. The enemy wants to destroy marriages in any way possible. And I see it happening more and more with a difference in the way spouses see sex and how often they have it. And I've been shocked, honestly, by very lovely people in our lives that come to us with some marriage struggles. And we come to find out that they haven't been intimate, in some cases, years. In many cases, it's months. And so we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to even look at like, what does the Bible have to say about it? Because that's God's design for marriage, is that sex is an integral part of that. In fact, that's the expression of the oneness that God talks about, of how a man and a woman come together and become one. Ultimately, that's expressed through sex. But for many couples, it's a struggle. So we're going to explore it a little bit. And I just want you to have an open mind and just be honest, even with your own self. And where you're coming from and where your struggles are coming from. Now, what Lehman would talk about is that we all come to our relationship, to our marriage, with the rule book for sex. It's the unspoken expectations, it's past experience, it's maybe what we saw modeled in our families. Whatever it is, we all come to it with our own set of rules, so to speak. So again, for some of you that have maybe been married for 20 years, you're like, well, way back in the beginning of the relationship, we talked about these things and I had an understanding. But I think the rule book can change, guys. And as we grow older and as we have children and as our bodies change, we change, right? And so the rule book might change. So that's what I want you to be exploring today. And I need you guys to be willing, hopefully in a safe and trusting relationship with your spouse, to start talking about how has your rule book maybe changed? How can you tell that you guys might be coming at this with different expectations, different desire level, whatever it is? You need to get honest about what your rule book is. Because I know that like in my marriage, my husband came into it thinking you have sex like every single day. And that just was not at all what my expectation was. And so early in our marriage, we had to talk about that and be like, we had to come up with some compromise on that. Maybe you guys can say the same thing. But even as we got older, as our kids got older, especially like high school, we had to have some more conversation, because it's like, you know, they're coming and going at all hours of the day and coming in later at night. And so it was just so easy for us to fall into a habit of that not being a common experience, because, you know, the kids came home or whatever, it threw us off from where we normally might find time for intimacy. So we've had to have many conversations over the years about our rule book and the changes, and how for a lot of people, one spouse maybe has a higher desire for that, a bigger need for that than the other spouse. And so what you need to do is be able to come together and start talking about it, rather than just letting that be this unspoken thing that you guys are not on the same page about, And it just creates more dissension in the relationship, because for the spouse that wants to have more intimacy, that feels like rejection to them. If the other spouse is like, that doesn't even come into my mind. I don't care about it. I don't need it. You know, whatever your reason is. But in a healthy marriage, guys, we have to come together and recognize that in that oneness principle, it doesn't matter if your desire is less than your spouse. What you need to say is like, my job is to serve my spouse, that my body actually doesn't belong just to me anymore. It belongs to my spouse. And we'll talk about that in a minute, just biblically speaking, what Paul speaks to that. But the beginning piece of this is you have a rule book. Each of you do. You have your expectations. You have maybe your past experiences or the things that make you feel uncomfortable or insecure or whatever it is. It's better to come together and start having some conversation about it so that intimacy, sexual intimacy, can be a healthy part of your relationship. And if it hasn't been, that doesn't mean that it can't be moving forward. It just means you guys need to start talking about it. You need to start being honest about it. You need to start saying, let's write this rule book together that we both agree on what intimacy looks like, how often we are intimate, how can we grow? What are some other things that we can do to help make this work better for both of us? Now, for some of you, maybe in your relationship, you never talked about anything in the rule book, even from the beginning of your relationship. So that might be the first place you need to start, is just talking about how you came to the marriage many years ago and the way you've experienced intimacy, perhaps in the past, the way you saw people in your life experience it, and whatever that might bring, and why there's a level of discomfort or insecurity in you from that. So talk about that. Be honest about it. Like I said before, if you have been honest about it in the past, but you find yourself in a different place in your marriage now, years later, talk about that. It has to be a vulnerability that you're willing to share with your spouse so you can be on the same page and understand each other. You know, another piece to the rule book is also your body image. I mean, I've had two kids. I had two big babies. My body definitely does not look the same as it did when we were first married. I've had to work through that. I've had to work through being comfortable being naked in front of my husband when I don't feel particularly attractive that way all the time. That might be a very real thing that you guys need to talk about, of why you withhold sex because you're insecure about your body. It's better to be honest about it, guys. If you want your marriage to be healthy, if you want to be on the same page, if you want to honor God in that part of your relationship, you have to be honest. It's not going to be helpful to you to kind of hide that or not talk about it, because the issue's not going to go away. So talk about it. And if you feel like you need to do that with another person to help you navigate that, then I pray that you find a trusted pastor, marriage mentor, counselor that can help you do that. But here's the main thing, and this is especially, I want men to think about this. A lot of the sexual intimacy issues are happening outside of the bedroom. Can I get an amen to that, right? I mean, you know, you've probably heard it said that, you know, men are like the Instant Pot and women are like the crock pot, right? For men, it's not hard to get riled up for that, to reach orgasm. All of that comes pretty easily for most men. But for women, a lot of times your ramp up is happening the week before you're even physically intimate. You know, it's about the love languages. It's about caring for one another. It's about feeling like your spouse loves you and is more interested in who you are and loving you and knowing you in different ways that aren't just in the bedroom, right? So for some of you, part of this issue is not even really about the actual act of sex. It's just feeling like, why do I want to give myself to my spouse or be vulnerable with my spouse that way and that kind of intimacy when I don't feel like we have intimacy in any other area of our relationship? We don't talk. We don't share our thoughts and feelings. We're like two ships passing in the night. We're like roommates. I mean, these are all kinds of the things that I've heard over the years. And even in my own marriage, have experienced seasons like this where my husband and I had to kind of force ourselves to get out of that and to start looking at outside of the bedroom, saying, how can we start connecting in different ways? How can we just take a walk at night and hear how each other's days are going? How can we talk more about just the different things that we're thinking about and praying about, or things weighing on our heart? How can we serve one another? Those are all things that you can build then into the intimacy in the bedroom then becomes easier. Because again, it kind of comes back to that trust issue. If I trust my husband and I know that he loves me and is for me and wants to serve me and he cares for me, then of course I'm going to want to express my love for him in the way that he needs it, which for my husband is more in the physical side. So this is not just about the physical intimacy itself, guys. It's about how are you nurturing the relationship outside of the bedroom? Start thinking about that. Start looking for ways to serve one another. Start looking for ways to grow trust in your relationship so that different forms of intimacy in just like the day-to-day kind of things and your emotional intimacy in sharing your thoughts and things going on in your life, having hobbies together, that will help the sexual intimacy part to come more easily. Now, I just want to finish with just a couple passages from scripture, because for some people, they might think God doesn't belong in the bedroom. But again, guys, God's the author of all things, and sex was his design, and how the men and women and how our bodies work and how they work differently is all part of God's design. Proverbs 5:19 says, "She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love." God designed women's bodies and men's bodies to be different and to be attractive to one another, and that we should delight in one another and be satisfied by one another. That's God's heart. So when we don't have the physical sexual intimacy in our marriage, we're missing out on part of what God has for us. And so the answer shouldn't be, well, we're just different people. We just have different needs, and we shrug our shoulders and say, I don't know. I don't know what we can do about it. No, you got to work on it, you guys, because you're robbing each other of a gift that God wants for your marriage. Now, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, the husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Here's what's important. Verse 5, do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. There's just so many good nuggets in this of what Paul is saying is that, guys, our attitude needs to be, my body is now not my own. It now belongs to my spouse. Now that definitely speaks to intimacy. So if there's other areas of your marriage that you're not on the same page, or you don't feel safe, or you don't feel like trust has been earned, then go deal with those things so that you can feel like you can give your whole self over to your spouse, that you give authority over your body to your husband. That doesn't mean in any way, in an unhealthy way. It's just saying, like, if I'm in a trusting relationship with my husband, then I trust him with even my body and how he would even find pleasure with my body, and vice versa. And it also says, like, don't deprive each other of this beautiful gift that it's supposed to be. And if you do, it should just be for a specific period of time, for time of prayer, or to say, you know, let's not be distracted by that right now, to pray over this or that. But then you always need to come back together, because that's where the enemy wants to get you separated, not fulfilled, so that he'll bring other things into your life to kind of grab your attention. So you guys, there's more, there's a spiritual piece to this that I think a lot of married couples miss, that when you deprive one another, when you withhold from one another, when you don't work at making sexual intimacy a part of your life that you're always growing and learning and adjusting as you go through the stages of life, is the playground for the enemy to start creating division, to start distracting, to start tempting you with something else. Here's what John Piper said. This was an interesting quote that he had. The practical application of 1 Corinthians 7 3-5 is not resolved by logic or taking turns or male dominance or female submission. It is resolved in the mystery of love that discovers, even here, when our physical pleasure is more prominent than anywhere else, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think that's something that we need to think about, that Christ's love for us, the selfless, sacrificial love, that's even true for us in our marriages in the bedroom, that we don't deprive one another, that we don't withhold from one another, that it's another way that we can give, that it's more blessing to give than to receive. And again, that might mean outside of the bedroom. You know, husbands, I challenge you, find out the love language of your wife and start speaking that language and see the difference that it makes in building trust and how that might impact then the bedroom itself. Wives, pay attention to the way your husband needs to be loved. Speak that and be open to hearing what his rule book is, his expectations. Both of you to sit down and to say, how are we doing in this area of our marriage? What do we need to start working on to make improvements in that area? And start working towards that, start rewriting the rule book that you guys have, be on the same page with what your expectations are, and be very intentional about building into your relationship in every area, emotionally, physically, spiritually, in all those ways. And you'll see that then the natural expression that God designed between a husband and wife in this sexual intimacy will become more and more of a safer, more enjoyable experience when you're both coming to it with love and sacrifice and meeting the other person's need first. So I hope that this was a helpful tool. Like I said, the book by Kevin Lehman is Sheet Music. And I encourage you to take your own thoughts on your rule book, share that with your spouse, start working on this so that your marriage can be blessed. No matter the stage you're in your marriage, that this will be an area where you feel blessed and connected moving forward.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.